then this would be on the inside of the Taj Mahal. It's basically an empty building. There's nothing in it, just flat, smooth, decorated floors with decorations and balconies and such. And this is of the center area where, of course, the this would be the where the mosque casket is, and it's at floor level, and there's easy access to it, and everybody can see it, and it's in a very impressive view. There is also a tunnel underneath, which we sort of got bamboozled in. We saw everybody going this way. So we said, well, gee, what's down there? So we went down there too, and it was this long way, and you finally get into this relatively small, dark enclosure, you know, like a cave, and here is a casket, and that's where the real casket resides. And it wasn't a very impressive place, but apparently most people weren't supposed to go down there, but of course now they do. The designers didn't intend it that way. This would be a side view of the Taj from the courtyard. This would be a close-up view of the Taj minus the minarets, the front minarets. You can still see the side ones. You can now get some appreciation of the detailed inlaid work that went into all of it. And this would be one last frontal view with a reflecting pool, and some lady who got into the picture.
Previous picture
was the backside. Okay. So at the Taj, as you walked up the long courtyard, you had your shoes on, and then there were some stairways to get you into this large paved or smooth marble area, which is where the actual level where the casket was. But before you went up the stairs, you were expected to take off your shoes. Now, in most places in India, they had a designated area where you left your shoes. There wasn't such a designated area with the Taj, so we just carried our shoes with us throughout. Yeah. This picture is of either the mosque or the guest house. There's one on each side. And this would be one of the front minarets. I was confused about, you know, people saying one is smaller than the other. They look the same size to me, so I actually took a picture to be sure. And the next one would be of a rear one, and sure enough, they're the same size if you compare the size of people close to the minaret. Also, the pavement that people are walking on is just marble, and you can see that it has been worn away by so many feet walking on it that it's shiny, smooth, and also worn down in places. And that's the last slide we have of India. And now we're taking an airplane on our way to Jerusalem. And this would probably be flying over a desert area like Kuwait. And sure enough, it's nothing but desert, no green at all. So that airplane took us to Kuwait, where we changed airplanes, and flying into Kuwait was pretty interesting because as you flew over the capital, you saw the layout of their city there, the city of Kuwait, and it was interesting because they had developments of houses, based like you would have them in the United States, with roads and driveways and cars. But it was just built on flat desert. There was no trees, no grass, no nothing. And they looked just set out there. It had a strange appearance. Anyway, then from Kuwait we flew to Jordan. We didn't see anything of particular interest. We had a lot of problems getting out of Jordan with paperwork. It turns out that there are some forms you have to get filled out in Jordan to go to Israel. And normally they take quite a long period. I think we ended up getting ours in 3 hours, and they told us it'd take us 4 days. But we just wouldn't go away. We finally got across the border from Jordan to Israel, and that was the most secure border we went through. They went through everything of ours, including the paperback books, to make sure they flipped through them to make sure they were really paperback books, etc. So anyway, they went through absolutely everything. Oh, when you to get to the security was on the Israeli side of the border. We had to ride in a I don't know. It was an arrangement. It was very common in Jordan. They don't use buses extensively, but what they'll do is they'll have a Mercedes Benz assembled in Libya or Saudi Arabia car, which has been extended in the second center section, sort of like a limousine, and so you can sit maybe two people beside the driver and two rows of three. So maybe you can sit eight people in the car, and for each passenger you pay maybe one JD, which would be about $250, and then the car would take you from Amman to the border, and then there you'd go on to a place where the government ran special buses, which would take you across this little, the Jordan River, you know, you think you're crossing something major. It was just a little creek. It was like 2 or 3 yards wide and hardly any water in it. And there was a military tactical bridge laid across it. But, you know, it was just a one stretch bridge and not very significant. And the government bus would drive you across the other side and they'd charge you maybe another JD for the bus. It was just ridiculous. But then you go in on the Israeli security and they go absolutely everything. We had some wood carvings and every single one of the wood carvings got x-rayed and they were just incredibly thorough. You were told that you shouldn't have film in your camera when you crossed the border from Jordan to Israel, and the reason was they wanted to open up your camera and make sure it wasn't a bomb, you know. So anyway, so we got out of security through security on the Israeli border, and then we need to get into Jerusalem, and that was some distance away again. And then we had the same arrangement, you know, where you had to take a public car or whatever it's called, where they fit eight passengers. So we did that and got into Jerusalem and out to the hostel we wanted to stay in. So anyway, this would be a view from the private car as we were driving through Israel. And we were sort of taken aback by Israel. We'd been in India, where everything was pretty green and lush, and all the other countries had been quite green. But Israel was just very dry, with hardly any vegetation at all. And what vegetation you see, you can tell it's the sort of vegetation that's very conservative water. It looks like the mesquite bushes you see in Texas that don't need very much water. So the next slide would be another slide that was taken as the car was driving past, and that gives you a larger perspective for what the terrain looked like. It was just dry, hilly desert land mostly. If you look, the nearer field has been plowed under, but it looks so dry that I don't see what good it would do to plant anything. This is a view from within Jerusalem. And this is sort of the way Jerusalem looks, or perhaps most of Israel. You have this basic desert, and then you have these very modern, white, thrown up, looks like prefabricated construction.
Old apartment.
Yeah, very stark. This is within the old city of Jerusalem, as we were just walking around some of the older roads. Those are flowering cabbages or something like that. We don't know what they are, but we saw them and they were pretty. This is one of the gates of the old city. The entire old city is surrounded by a wall, and this is one section of wall, and you can see the gate, and there's a sort of moat between on the way in.